Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma, daf Pei Dalid. We left off Pei Gimel Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. We left off three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. It's also sponsored on behalf of dailygiving.org. Join Rabbi Leibowitz, myself, probably others in this room, and more than 6,000 people across 30 countries who get together very easily to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah each and every day. The achdus of this organization is incredible. More details are available at www.dailygiving.org. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Today we are going to cover what we began discussing in the Mishnah. We were speaking in the Mishnah about refuos. Yesterday we spoke a lot about illness called bulmus. And then in the Mishnah we had also mentioned the potential refuah for somebody who was bitten by a rabid dog, and whether we're allowed to perform that refuah either on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. It depends on whether the refuah is a refuah beduka or not, whether it's a tried and true refuah. So we're going to talk a little bit about the ways of healing somebody who was bitten by a rabid dog. Then we're going to talk on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph about somebody who became ill in other respects and the method for healing various illnesses of the mouth, illnesses of the gums, what to do in order to make sure the illness doesn't spread. And then toward the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis, we'll see what we get up to today. We're going to talk about the last clause in the Mishnah. The last clause in the Mishnah had been about what happens if there's a building collapse and you don't know who's in the building. Was there anybody in the building? Was there not? Is the person a Jew? Is he not? Is he alive? Is he dead? And are you allowed to clear out the rubble on Shabbos? Are you allowed to try to perform a recovery mission on Shabbos? So we'll talk about that at the end of this year if we get up to it. So we left off again, Pei Gimel Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the page. Mi Shenoshcho Kelev Shota. So anybody who was bitten by a rabid dog. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara as follows. Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Bekelev Shota. There were five things that are said about a rabid dog. Piv pasuach, it runs around with his mouth hanging open. Veriro notef, and its saliva drips. The yaznav sruchos, and its ears droop. Vizanva munach al yarchosav, and its tail is resting on its loins, meaning its tail is not sticking up or straight out, it's just drooping down. Umahalich betzidei drachem, and it tends to wander around the side of the sides of roads. V'yeshomrim afna ve'achvein kolo nishma. Others say that it appears to make a barking. It appears to act as if it's trying to bark, but nothing comes out of its mouth. So mimai hava. So how does a dog get to be like this? In other words, this dog sounds like a very ill dog. It's behaving in a very strange way. How does the dog get to be like this? So Rav amar noshim kishfanios mesach kospo. So Rav says that which people who practice witchcraft play with it, and Rashi explains maros bo kishfeyem l'schok, that they basically they practice their witchcraft on the dog, or they have this dog as an audience for their witchcraft as a joke, as play. But in any event, what's apparent is that this dog is under some sort of spell. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says ruach rasha relav. Well, it's not really witchcraft, but it's a ruach ra. There's obviously some spirit that is seizing this dog that's causing the dog to act in this very strange way. So it might be Nayu. So what's the difference between whether it's a Ruach Ra or whether it's Nashim Kishvanios Mesach Kozbo? Says the Gemara, Se'ika Benayu, L'mikdalei B'davar Anizrak. So the nafkamin is whether you have to kill it with, so let's say you have to put the dog down, whether you have to kill it with something that could be thrown at the dog at a distance, or if you could kill the dog B'adayim, if you could kill the dog with your own hands. In other words, if it's a Ruach Ra, which is Shorah on the dog, if the dog is actually possessed by some sort of spirit, then it's best not to get too close and actually handle the dog with your hands. Rather, you should shoot it with an arrow or with a gun or something like that, whatever you do, just to make sure that you put it down. However, if it's Nashim Kishfanios Mesach Kospo, and there's no actual Ruach Ra, which is possessing the dog, then it's not going to be a problem if you try to handle the dog with your hands. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavase de Shmuel. So we have a raya like Shmuel that it's a ruach ra, which is shore on the dog. Kisha Harganosa, ain Organosa, Ela Bedavar Anizrak. When you kill the dog, you have to kill it with something which is thrown. In other words, you shouldn't handle the dog with your own hands. And the reason that you shouldn't handle the dog with your own hands is obviously because there's a ruach ra, which is shore on the dog. Okay, now what does the dog need to do to you in order to put you in danger? The chayif bay mistaken. If the dog rubs against you, if it so much as rubs against you, you're going to be in a situation of sakana. And the nachis le mayis, if the dog actually bites you, then you're in trouble. Then you're going to die. So the chayif bay mistaken maitakante. So if it rubs against you, then you're in a state of sakana. So what can you do to prevent yourself from developing further sakana? What can you do to head this off? So nishlach ma'ane, so you should remove your clothing, vinirat, and you should run. Okay, because the dog is presumably running, rubbing against your clothing. So now the Gemara tells the Maaser, Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, chaf pei chad minai b'shuka. So Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua had an episode where one of these rabid dogs rubbed against him in the shuk, and shalchinu lamane v'ra'et. And sure enough, what he did was he took off his clothing and he started running around the shuk naked. And that's the way you protect yourself from this ruah, from this kelev shote. And says the Gemara, Amar kiyamti bi'atzmi. So Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua said that he fulfilled about himself the pasuk hachachma tichya ba'leah, that we saw this reference yesterday, that the Amoraim, they were basically lauding themselves for knowing the brisos on their fingertips, and so therefore they knew that if they encountered a certain danger or a certain situation, they knew how to behave because they had this full reservoir of brisos available to them. So Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, the dog rubbed against him, but he remembered the brisa that said that what you do if you're in danger of this rabid dog is you have to take off your clothing and you have to run through the shuk, and therefore that's what he did, and he praised himself for remembering this brisa. Because of that, he was able to save himself. So denachas le'mayis, the other thing we said that is that if the rabid dog bites you, then you're going to die. So my takante, so what is the takana? What can you do in order to prevent yourself from dying on account of this bite? So Amar Abaya, Nese Mashcha Diapa, so Diapa Dikra, that you should bring the skin of a male polecat, V'nichtav Alea, and you should write on the skin, like it's basically like a cloth, you should write on the skin of this male polecat, Ana Planya Bar Planisa, I, the son of his mother, so Amshecha Diapa Dikra, on Amashka Diapra Dikra, on the skin of the male polecat, Kasivna Alach, I am writing to you, Kante Kanti Kaliros, that you have to write that formulation. Kanti Kanti Kaliros, Vamrila, another say, Kandi Kandi Koloros. It's not Kanti Kanti Kaliros, it's Kandi Kandi Koloros. Ka 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 Tzvakos, Amen Amen Sela. And so you have to write this strange incantation on the skin of the male polecat, v'nishlechinu lamane, and you have to take off your clothing, v'likberinu be'kivre atresa yarcheshata, and you have to bury your clothing for a period of 12 months, v'nafkinu v'naklinu betanura, and then after 12 months you have to get your clothing and you have to burn them, v'nevderinu lekatme aprashas drachem, and you have to scatter the ashes at the crossroads. And that's the way you make sure that you save yourself from the bite of this rabid dog. So says the Gemara also, Vahanach Tresa Yarcheshata. Now what we're describing here is a remedy that takes a very long time to put into effect, because you have to write this little phrase on the skin of the male polecat. And in the interim, then you have to take off your clothing, you have to bury your clothing for 12 months. And what are you doing during these 12 months? So the Gemara says, well, you could pretty much bathe normally. However, kishasi maya, when you're drinking water, lalishti ela begufsa denachsha, you have to drink it with a copper straw. In other words, don't drink water directly out of the cup. Don't drink it out of the cup without a straw. Dilma chazi bavua deshida, lest you see the shadow, or the reflection rather, of the shade, which is somehow associated with this rabid dog. You might see the reflection of the shade in the water. filistakein, and you might come into sakana. And therefore, what you should do is you should try to avoid seeing any reflection in a body of water. And the way you do that is when you're drinking water, instead of looking down at the cup full of water, just try drinking with a copper straw. And therefore, all you're seeing is a reflection of the straw. You're not seeing the water, and therefore, you're not going to see the shade that is somehow associated with this rabid dog. Kiyade Abba Barmarta, who Abba Barmanyumi, just like we have a maisa by Abba Barmarta, Abba Barmanyumi, Avdale Ime Gupta Dadava. His mother made him, did one better. Not only a copper straw, but even a golden straw. And by use of that golden straw, again, he was able to, to drink water without seeing any reflection in the cup. And therefore, he was able to make sure that he was not in a makom sakana. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter, we're at the two dots, about five lines into the wide line. So the Va'od Amar Rav Masya. And Rav Masya said as well, Rav Yochanan Chash B'Tzavdina. So says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan was sick with an illness called Tzavdina. So what is Tzavdina? So Rashi says it's a choli shinayim, it's some sort of disease in the mouth. And he says that it's, even though it starts in the mouth, we're afraid that it might travel downward toward a person's intestinal area. And therefore, even though it seems like a toothache and that should not be a big deal, we see therefore that it actually can cause great sakana. The poskin are misupuk. What about gum disease today? Like the Gemara is describing something that sounds like a toothache or gum disease or something. Do we have to be afraid that that is also a choli me'ayim, or can we just assume that that's a gum disease? And obviously the nafkamina is, what about on Shabbos? Are you allowed to take medicine for it on Shabbos? Is it considered like chash parosh, or is it considered like something else? Rav Moshe says that we bring a raya from the Gemara B'Pashtos that if a person is suffering from something, even though now it's not that serious, if we know that if untreated this could develop into something serious, then you have to treat it because we're mechuyev to make sure that we don't fall into a state of sakana. And that's what happened over here. So Rav Yochanan chash b'tzavdina. So Rav Yochanan was suffering of tzavdina, of this gum disease, which if not treated can spread down to a person's intestines and get very dangerous. So Ozel gaba da'i matronisa. So he went to a certain noblewoman of the lay milsa, Chamisha Umale Shabbata. So there was a 3-day course of treatment. So the noblewoman was able to perform the treatment on him on Thursday and Friday. And Amar Lo, so he said to her, "B'Shabbos Mai, what am I supposed to do on Shabbos?" And why couldn't Rav Yochanan get to her on Shabbos? So either because she was out of the tchum, or Rav Yochanan was delivering the shir on Shabbos, and therefore knew that he wasn't going to have the opportunity to go visit with his noblewoman on Shabbos. But it was a 3-day course of treatment, so he wanted to know, what should he do on Shabbos? So Amr Lei, so she said to him, Lo tzarichta. You won't need it. So don't worry about it. So imitz rachina mai. So he said, okay, well, you're saying that I won't need it, but what if I do need it? So it's a 3-day course of treatment. You treated me on Thursday and Friday. What happens if I do need it on Shabbos? I'm not going to be able to come to you. So what should I do? So Amr Lei, so she said to him, Ishtabei ali dlo miglot, dlo maglis. So you have to swear to me that you're not going to reveal the treatment. So he said, Ishtabea lela kadi Yisrael lo maglina. So I swear to the God of Israel that I'm not going to reveal, the treatment. So nafak darsha v'pirka. So in the end, she told him the treatment because he took a shvua that he's not going to reveal it to Lakadi Yisrael. And what did Rav Yochanan do when he was saying shir on Shabbos? He darshan to the entire shir, the treatment that the noblewoman had told him would cure this disease. Says the Gemara, Va'ishtabala l'kadi Yisrael lo magilna. Va'ishtabala. So I thought he made a shvua. How could Rav Yochanan go teach this refuah in the shir? He swore to the woman that he wasn't going to disclose the refuah to anybody. So says the Gemara, l'kadi Yisrael lo magilna, hala'ama Yisrael magilna. Rav Yochanan was cute when he made the shvua. He said he's not going to disclose the refuah to l'kadi Yisrael, to the God of Israel. However, to the people of Israel, he never made a shvua. And therefore, who was sitting with him in the shir? It was the people of Israel, so he was able to disclose it. And of course, there's no such thing as keeping something a secret from the God of Israel, because we believe the God of Israel knows everything. So Rav Yochanan understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows this refuah already. So he was making a shvuah that had no effect. That's what the Gemara is saying. Hai va'ika chil Hashem. So forget about the Forget about the technicality that, yes, he was taking a shvuah that he's not going to reveal something to someone, to some being who knows everything. So the shvuah was ineffective. It still was a massive chilul Hashem, because clearly the woman understood that Rav Yochanan was taking a shvuah, that she wasn't going to reveal the secret refuah to anybody. So how could Rav Yochanan then turn around and risk this great chilul Hashem by going and teaching the refuah in public in the drasha? So says the Gemara, Demigli Lamei Kara. No. He told her from the beginning that he was going to darshan, that he was going to darshan in the shir. So there were two deos in the Yerushalmi as to what happened to this woman, because the story is like a little strange, right? Like, you know, okay, so either Rav Yochanan tricked her by taking a shvua that was a meaningless shvua, it was a shvua shav, or Rav Yochanan tricked her, and then when we asked, what about the Chilul Hashem? Oh, don't worry, because Rav Yochanan came clean. And he said, oh, by the way, I know I made a shvua that I'm not gonna, you know, that I'm not gonna disclose this, but in the end, I really intend on disclosing this in my shir. So he was very upfront with her, and therefore there was no Chilul Hashem. So what did he do? So what did she do, rather? So in the Yerushalmi, there were two, it's like pick your own ending. So there were two endings here. One Mandi Amar said that she killed herself. The other Mandi Amar said that she was Mizgayer. So according to the Mandi Amar, that she killed herself, that I understand, because she made, like, her secret was that she had this great refuah, and it was a huge secret, and then came Rav Yochanan, and he foiled her, because Rav Yochanan basically tricked her into disclosing the refuah, and then he went and taught it to the public. So it could be she was very upset. But according to the Mandi Amar, that she was Mizgayer, what's the story with this? So the Yifei Naim says, no, she was so overcome with the fact that Rav Yochanan was very, very, he was very free, and he was very eager, he was very generous in sharing this refuah, that Rav Yochanan could have made a lot of money, just like this noble woman who was a doctor at a network, who always took money, no insurance, she always used to collect money for giving this refuah. Rav Yochanan could have done the same thing, because now he had the secret too, so he could have profited from this. Yet Rav Yochanan said, no, I don't care to make a profit, I'm going to reveal the secret to everybody, so that anybody else who is in a state of sakana can be healed, and they'll have this remedy at their fingertips. And she was so overcome by the fact that he was willing to forego all of this profit, she was very nispoil, and therefore she was misgayer at the end of the day. That's one of the alternative endings that's brought down in the Yerushalmi. So says the Gemara Vayter. So my avdalei. So what is this great secret refuah? So we have this interesting story, but what's the refuah? So Amar Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ami, mei sa'ar, it's yeast water, shemen zayis, olive oil, umelach, and salt. So you mix that all together and you gargle it, and then you're good. Ravimar amar sa'ar gufei, shemen zayis, umelach. It's not yeast water, but it's yeast, shemen zayis, and salt. Ravashi amar mishcha de gadfa. Ravashi says that it's the fat of a goose wing. That mishcha de gadfa v'avza. It's the fat of a goose wing. Amrabaya ana avde lekulu v'lo itzai. I tried all of these things. I tried all of these mixtures that the Gemara talks about, and I was not healed. Ada amar li lahutaya isu kashyasa tzeisa. Bring a pit of olives. Bring pits of olives, the lomoli tilsa, that have not ripened a third. The kalinu benura, and burn them in a fire. Amara chadata, on a new hoe. The idbik bekachi dari. And put this paste, the ashes that you get by burning the date, the olive pits, which are ripened a third, on the fire that's heated with burned on a new hoe. You should put that on the row of teeth that's hurting you. So Avdi Achi, so he did that vitzi, and he was healed. So mimai samimai hava mechmimi chamimi. The chiti, so it's very hot chitin. Umishuri kasa daharsana. How do you get this disease? That's what Gemara is asking. I mean, my hava. So okay, so we understand that this tzavdina, it's like a gum disease, and we know how to cure it now by making this weird paste of ashes, and we spread it on the teeth. So I mean, my hava. How do you get this disease to begin with? Either it's eating very, very hot foods, the chiti, umishuri kasa daharsana, or eating the leftover kasa daharsana. Umay simane, and what is the simen? What's the symptom of this disease? Kad rami midi bekachei, va'asa dama mi beidari. that if you put something on your teeth, then the row of teeth is filled with blood. That's how you know that you're suffering from this disease. Oh, he says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Yochanan ki chosh b'tzafidna, when Rabbi Yochanan was sick with tzafidna, avad hachi b'shabata v'itzi, he did it on Shabbos, and he was healed, because again, the Gemara held that this was a potential sakana, because it started in its mouth, it could have migrated down to his intestines, and therefore he was in a position of danger, he was allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan hecha avad hachi, so how could Rabbi Yochanan do this? Because this refuah obviously involves bishul, right? Because we're talking about taking the date pits and burning them, and that's bishul. So how was he allowed to do this on Shabbos? So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak shani tzafidna ho lemaskel b'peh v'gomer b'nei v'ayin. So the Gemara answers with what we had said already earlier. In other words, it's like this is a case of pikuach nefesh, because tzafidna is not simply a disease that's bothersome. It's not simply a toothache, and we say, deal with it until after Shabbos. No, it could develop very easily into a cholesh yeis bo sakana, and therefore you're allowed to treat it even through chilul Shabbos on Shabbos. Amar le Rav Chia bar Abba le Rav Yochanan keman. Who's this like? Rav Masya ben Charash. The Amar Hachoshesh Bepiv, if a person has a toothache, if a person's aching in his mouth, Matilin Lo Sam B'Shabbos, you're allowed to give him medicine on Shabbos. Amar Le, Shani Omer Bezu V'lo La'Cheres. In other words, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah, whether you're allowed to do a certain refuah for the Kelev Shota. Right. If you recall, we had in the Mishnah, are you allowed to rip open the tarnagol and do all the stuff if you're bitten by this kelev shota? And the Chachamim said, Rav Masir Bar Chorosh said that you're allowed to do it, and the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to do it. So the only time that the Chachamim argued with Rav Masya in the Mishnah was on the Kelev Shota, whether you're allowed to do this refuah for the Kelev Shota, because the Chachamim said that that's not a refuah beduka, and therefore you're not allowed to do this refuah on Shabbos. However, over here, when Rav Masya said that you're allowed to take medicine for a toothache, because we're afraid that it might devolve into something more serious, the Chachamim didn't argue on that. And that's what it says, Amar Leish, Ani Omer Bezu V'lo Ba'Cheres, that the only time the Chachamim argue with Rav Masya is on the case of the Kelev Shota, because they were afraid that it's not a refuah beduka. However, on the other thing that Rav Masya said in the Mishnah, that if a person has a toothache, has an ache in his mouth, and he's allowed to take medicine, that the Chachamim did not argue on. So Lema Misayele, so we're going to bring a raya to this. If a person is afflicted with jaundice, so machilin osa basar chamor, so we feed him basar chamor. Misha nashcho bekelev, if a person is bit by a rabid dog, machilin osa michatzar kavechelo, we feed the person from the lobe of the liver of the dog. Vachoshesh b'piv, so that's three things. Vachoshesh b'piv, and somebody who has a toothache, matil lo sam b'shabes, divri Rav Masya ben Charash. That's what Rav Masya ben Charash said. So we have three things. There were three things that Rav Masya said. A person sees with jaundice, kelev shota, and a toothache. Vachachamim omrim be'elu ein behem mishum refuah. With these things, there is no refuah. So what exactly are the Chachamim arguing on when they say be'elu ein behem mishum refuah? So be'elu l'miyotei mai. So what does it mean be'elu? First of all, by the toothache, it doesn't really say what the refuah is. It just says that we give the guy medicine. So doesn't be'elu come to exclude the following? Mai lav l'miyotei sam. Doesn't it mean to exclude the third case that the Chachamim say be'elu, meaning giving basar chamor for jaundice, giving the liver lobe of the rabid dog for the dog bite? That's not mishum refuah, but giving sam for a toothache is mishum refuah. Says the Gemara, lo lemiute makizin dam lisruchni lisarunchi. That the Chachamim argue on all three of those, but they say that you know what is a refuah? It's a refuah to be makiz dam, to bloodlet for somebody who's suffering from a disease called quinsy. So achinami mistabra tetanya shlosha dvarim amar Rav Yishmael b'Rav Yosi shashama mishum Rav Masya ben Charash. That Rav Yishmael b'Rav Yosi heard three things from Rav Masya ben Charash, makizin dam lisruchni b'Shabbes. So here we have a different list. The first is that you're allowed to be makas dam for somebody who has srunchi on Shabbos. And the second is anybody who's bitten by a rabid dog, you should feed him from the lobe of the liver of that dog. And if a person is choshesh bepiv, if a person has a toothache, you should give him medicine even on Shabbos. No, by these, they're not refuah beduka, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. What does Beilu come to exclude? My love. Atarte basraisa ulumiute deresha. Doesn't it mean that be'elu, that by these two last things, they're not a refuah baduka, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but by the first thing, i.e. being makas dam to somebody as Quincy, that is a refuah baduka? Says the Gemara, lo, atarte deresha kamaisa ulumiute de seifa. No, in other words, what is Aimba Mishram Rafua is the first two things. It's the stuff that sounds like quackery is what is quackery, and the stuff that sounds legit is legit. In other words, bloodletting for somebody who has Quincy, giving the liver lobe for somebody who was bitten by a dog, or in the first brisa, giving Basar Chamor to somebody who's suffering from the other ailment. From jaundice. All that is not a refuah baduka. Ulumiyutei de seifa. It comes to exclude. Where did the Chachamim not argue on Rav Masya ben Charash? So they don't argue with him on the seifa, where somebody who has a toothache, Rav Masya says that you're allowed to take medicine even on Shabbos, and the Chachamim would agree with him because they hold yesh ba mishum refuah. Turning to Pei Dalad Amud Beis, Tashma. So we learn as follows. The Tani, Rabba Bar Shmuel says as follows. If a pregnant woman smells food on Yom Kippur and she's craving, we are allowed to give her food on Yom Kippur until she feels better. If a person is bit by a rabid dog, we could give him from the lobe of the liver of the dog. And if anybody has a toothache, you're allowed to give him medicine even on Shabbos. That's the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yossi, who says in the name of Rav Masya ben Charash. That's the shita that we've been talking about for the past 10 minutes. The Chachamim omrim and the Chachamim say bezu velo ba'acheres, that yes, you're allowed to do this, but you're not allowed to do with the others. But the problem is, the Chachamim said this in a very nondescript way. What does it mean bezu velo ba'acheres? What's the zoo? What's the acheres? So ahaya. So what are the Chachamim talking about? See, lema ubra. So if you want to say, oh, bezu, the Chacham say, yes, bezu, by the ubra she'iricha on Yom Kippur, that you're allowed to give her to eat. But the other things that the Rav Masya bar Chorosh said, you're not allowed to do. Says the Gemara, Pshita, I don't need the Chachamim to tell me that I'm allowed to give the Ubra to eat on Yom Kippur if she's craving food. Pshita, Ubra mi kalamandi amar delo. So there's no machlokas. In other words, Ubra we had already in the prior Mishnah. There was nobody who argued on that. So I don't need the Chachamim to tell me, Bezu, oh yes, that's correct. The Chachamim don't need to tell me that's correct if nobody's arguing on it. Ella lav asam. So elamai, when the Chachamim say, when we bring down the three things of Rav Masya bar Charash and say that the Chachamim say, oh, by this I agree that you're allowed to do it. By the other thing, I don't think you're allowed to do it. Let's take the pregnant woman on Yom Kippur out of the equation, because we don't need the Chachamim's voucher for that, because nobody argued on that when we had that in the Mishnah. So let's park that to the side. Now we're left with only two things that Rav Masya bar Charash said. One, rabid dog, you're allowed to give the guy from the lobe of the liver of the dog. Number two, toothache, you're allowed to give medicine. Then the Chacham say, bezu v'lo b'acheres. What does it mean, bezu v'lo b'acheres? I agree with you on the toothache that you're allowed to give medicine. I don't agree with you on the rabid dog because it's not a refuah baduka, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the liver lobe of the rabid dog in order to heal yourself. Okay? So Ravashi Amar Masisa Nami Deka. Ravashi says that the Mishnah is also a raya. The Ode Amar Rav Masir Ben Charash Hachoshes Bepiv Matilin Lo Sam B'Shabes V'Lo Pligi Rabbanan Aleah. So that what was the order of the Mishnah? The order of the Mishnah was that if a person is bit by a rabid dog, Rav Masir Ben Charash says that you're allowed to give him from the Chasar Kaved Shalo, and the Chachamim argue. And if a person has a toothache, then you're allowed to give him medicine on Shabbos. So Vim Isa the Pligi Rabbanan Aleha, if it were true that the Rabbanan argued on giving medicine to somebody who's suffering from a toothache on Shabbos as well, L'Ravinu V'Lis Ninu V'Lis Pligi Rabbanan B'Seifa, then the way to organize the Mishnah shouldn't have been rabbit dog, Rav Masya says, Mutar Chachamim say Aser, toothache, silence. If the Rabbanan argued on toothache, it should have said rabbit dog, toothache. Rav Masya says, Mutar Chachamim say Aser. For the fact that the Mishnah is not constructed like that, it's obvious, therefore, that the Chachamim do not argue on they do not argue on the case of the toothache. They only argue on the case of the rabid dog and whether we're able to practice this refuah on Shabbos. Is it a refuah beduka or not? Okay, says the Gemara. Now, Vayter, we're at the two dots, three lines up from where they get wine on Peidalad Amud Beis. So, Mimnei Safek Shesafek Safek Nefashasu. What we had said is we put medicine into the mouth of the guy who's suffering from a toothache because there's a suffek nefashos. So, and then what it said was that and kol suffek nefashos is doches haShabbos in the Mishnah. So lamali sulam emar v'chol suffek nefashos doches haShabbos. Why do you have to tell me that kol suffek nefashos doches haShabbos? I already know suffek nefashos is doches haShabbos. So Rav Yehuda Marav lo suffek Shabbos. Zu bilvad amru ela filu suffek Shabbos acheres. Even if there's a suffek Shabbos acheres, even if it's going to require more than one chilul Shabbos, you still do it. Sehei chedami. So what exactly is the case where we're on Shabbos and the question is, can I do something to save somebody's life? And I have to cheshbon out already another Shabbos and whether I'm going to be mechalel another Shabbos. So what case is this? Sehei chedami. So as follows, kagon dam dua letamne yome. So, in other words, they assess that he's going to need a treatment for 8 days, v'yomakame shabbatahu, and the first day of the potential treatment is going to be Shabbos. So, ma'o d'tei malake v'ad l'urta, ki echad lo nechalala trei shabbata, kamash malon, not. So, I might think even though we're now standing on Shabbos, because we know that there's going to be an 8-day treatment, if we start the treatment today on Shabbos, then we're going to have to be mechalel two Shabbosos this Shabbos, and the next Shabbos, we're still going to have to give him the medicine on Shabbos. And therefore, I might think it's better to have the guy wait until Sunday to start the refuah. That way, we're only going to have to be mechalel one Shabbos over the span of 8 days. Kamash Malan, we don't wait. And we start the refuah immediately. We're obviously talking about where there is a sakana if we were to delay. Because if there is no sakana at all in delaying, then it's obvious that you delay until after Shabbos. But the chiddush of the Gemara is, if there is any sakana in delaying, then we will not delay. Even if by not delaying, we're going to cause two chilul Shabboses. Because you're going to be mechalel this Shabbos, and you're going to be mechalel next Shabbos. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn similarly, Mechamen Chamen L'chola b'Shabbos, you're allowed a warm water for a chola on Shabbos, Bein L'ashkoso, whether it's to give him to drink, Bein L'avroso, or whether it's to strengthen him, you're allowed to warm the water for him, V'lo Shabbos u'bilvad amru elo l'Shabbos acheres, that not only for this Shabbos, but also for next Shabbos, Ve'in omrim namtim lo shema yavri, and we don't try to play games here. We don't say, oh, let's wait, maybe he's going to get better on his own, maybe we're not going to have to be mechalel Shabbos, that you have to do it immediately, spring into action, because suffik nefashos is docha Shabbos, v'lo suffik Shabbos zu, ela afilu suffik Shabbos acheres, and not only a suffik of this Shabbos, but even a Shabbos acheres, as we've seen, even if it's a course of treatment that's going to span 8 days, and it's going to require two different chilul Shabbos, or the chilul of two Shabbosos, I should say, nevertheless, we still do it, and we don't wait. Vein osin dvarin halalu, and we don't do these things. In other words, figuring out what's pikuach nefesh, what's refuah, am I allowed to do this? Lo al yidei nachrim, v'lo al yidei kusiyim, ella al yidei gedolei Yisrael. In other words, when it's time to be mechal Shabbos for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, we don't try to mitigate and run and find the Shabbos guy or go find somebody else. Ella al yidei gedolei Yisrael. We do it al yidei gedolei Yisrael. So what does it mean? What does it mean by gedolei Yisrael? So first of all, Tosfos over here has an important yesod. First Tosfos on the top of the page says, "Vafilu echad efshar denachri." even if it's possible to go find a guy to do it, mitzvah be Israel, it's a mitzvah for a Jew to actually be mechalal Shabbos and save somebody else who's in sakana, shema yisatzel anachri v'layasa v'layavidei sakana, because maybe the guy is not going to act with the greatest amount of alacrity, and in the meantime, it's going to get to be a real sakana, so don't wait for the guy, just do it yourself. You have a dispensation to be mechalal Shabbos over here, if it's a chole, sheyesh bo sakana. So this is a very strange lashon, though. It says that you don't do it al yedei nochrim, you don't do it al yedei kusiyim, ella you do it al yedei gedolei Yisrael. So gedolei Yisrael could mean two things. Either gedolei Yisrael could mean gedolim, meaning people who are of the majority age. In other words, they're gedolim, they're not under bar mitzvah, they're not katanim. Or gedolei Yisrael could mean rabbanim gedolim. And there are certain shitas that say that gedolei Yisrael means that, yes, you should dafka find, like a gadol Yisrael, a rabbi to do it to show. It's really not usser, it's really mutter. And even this great rabbi is doing it. The Rambam says that you're supposed to find gadolei Yisrael, which means men above the age of bar mitzvah to do it. Why? Because the Rambam was afraid that, let's say, if you would find a woman to do it, people would say, oh, the woman is doing it because she's not nizar in Shabbos, and her chilul Shabbos is not such a big deal. Says the Rambam, chas v'sholom, the woman is mechuyev to keep Shabbos the same way as a man's mechuyev to keep Shabbos. And therefore, when we're mechal Shabbos for something like this, you're supposed to do it with a male who's over bar mitzvah to show it's really mutter. Says the Gemara Vayter, ve'ein omrim yasu dvar malolu lo al pi noshim v'lo al pi kusiyim avol mitzarfim l'das acheres. However, we are mitzarev to a das acheres, meaning to deos that hold that it's pikuach nefesh. So in other words, we're going to be mitzareif. Those people are going to be mitzareif to deos acheres. Let's say there's a debate. The doctors are debating, is it pikuach nefesh or not? And one of the people who says it's pikuach nefesh is a woman. So yes, we add that woman, or we add a guy, if he says it's pikuach nefesh, to the debate as to whether it's going to be pikuach nefesh, or not. Ten rabbanan, mefakin pikuach nefesh b'shabbos, we have to act for pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. V'azoriz hareza meshubach, and if a person is zoriz in this hareza meshubach, vein zorach litol rishos mi beistin, and you don't have to take rishos from beistin. If you see a sakana, you see something that's something pikuach nefesh, you have to spring into action. Okay, tzad, what's the case? Sara tinuk shnafal liyam. If you see a tinuk that fell into a river, porish mitzudam aleu, you have to spread out a net, you have to grab the tinuk out of the river, vazoris areza meshubach, and somebody who zoris and springs into action, it's a great thing. Veitzorach litol rishos me basin, and you don't have to ask basin, oh, am I allowed to put the net in the river, even though by putting the net in the river, v'alfal gav the kotzayid kavre, and even though he's going to catch fish. In other words, you see a tinuk drowning, don't ask a shayla, just spring into action, save the baby. Ra tinok shnafal a bar. If you see a tinok that fell into a bar, oker chulya, you try to clear away some dirt on the side of the bar, umaleu, and you have to bring the tinok up from the bar. Vazarez areza meshubach. And if a person springs into action with alacrity, it's meshubach. Vein zorach lito rishos mi beis, and you don't have to ask a shayla. Avagav de mesakin darga. Even though by clearing some of the rubble away from the side of the pit, you're making a step. And even though ordinarily that's chilul Shabbos, sure, ordinarily that's chilul Shabbos, but you're allowed to do it because if you see that door locked in front of a tinok, shovra, you're allowed to break it to matzia, and you're allowed to take the tinok out. You don't have to ask a question. And even though you're intending to splinter the door, and either the isser is that you're breaking the door, or you intend to use the splinters for fire, whatever it is, you see the baby there, and the baby's in distress, act right away. A person has to put out, or be mafsik, or put barriers in front of a fire on Shabbos. Even though it's putting out the fire, we need all these cases. The Ashmin and Yam, if we only said that you have to spring into action when you see the baby falling into the water, well, the reason that you don't ask a shayla, it's obvious. If the baby falls into the river, by the time you ask your shayla and get your psak, the baby's going to be dead already, so of course you have to save him. Aval bar deka yasev emalotzricha, but by a pit, the baby's there anyway. Where's the baby going to go? So maybe I should ask a shayla. V'yashmina bar misham deka mivis, but in a pit, the baby's going to be very agitated. He's going to be very upset and very scared. Aval ninal adelas efshar de yasev ahigisa umeshabish le bamguze tzricha. However, so therefore I might think by a bar, I have to spring into action and be mechal Shabbos immediately. But if the baby's simply locked in a room, I might think instead of being mechal Shabbos, instead of breaking down the door, maybe the adult should just sit on the other side of the door and should placate the baby by playing with nuts or making noises to the baby and therefore avoid the chilul Shabbos. Kamash Balan, you don't have to try to avoid chilul Shabbos. You don't have to try to mitigate here at all. Spring into action immediately and be mechal Shabbos in order to save the baby. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the two dots, mechavin and mafsikin, talking about extinguishing the fire on Shabbos. We'll start with that discussion tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. A reminder for those on the Zoom, tomorrow is Independence Day observed, and we are following a Sunday schedule. So Daf Yomi at around 7:45 a.m. New York time tomorrow as well. Have a great day.